Amy writes, for those who want to know more about what's going on with the weather situation in the Midwest. Dear Clyde, I live in Northwest Ohio, and right before the storm came in, it got very silent. It was very calm. And then it was like all hell broke loose. The wind picked up. I lived next to a grain mill, and the grain dust was like little pellets flying through the air, stinging so bad we had to go inside. Then the power went out, and we surged. We may have lost the television over the thing. It's still raining right now, hard. It is very windy right now. It's a lot like the one that hit here last June. The pressure change is so bad, my ears are popping. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in a storm where the pressure, and I was reading somewhere, it's like below, it was like 900 and some odd millibars, which is like a cyclone or a hurricane. I mean, this is very, very scary weather right now. And it's forming now. In fact, I'm going to go to Cole right now. He's in Columbus. Hey, Cole, what's up with you?
Not a whole lot. How you doing?
Good. So what's going on in your area? I mean, I just heard Amy, she's saying that it was just calm, and all of a sudden it was like God decided to lay his wrath down on Ohio. What's happening with you?
Well, we just had a small front that come through. We had some hail. Actually, I'm about 45 minutes north of Columbus, up 71, and some hail down here a couple hours ago, but I could see on the radar that there's a pretty large storm coming up. And there's just been wicked lightning all the way around all day. So,
any tornadoes that you're hearing about?
Yeah, we had about 5 or 6 o'clock. We had tornado warnings. It's Richland County. We had tornado warnings here that went north and missed Mansfield, and then there were ones that were south that were going straight towards Beltville, Butler area, which is where I'm at.
Right.
So now we've got, you know, another one coming. So I'm just.
So you're going to be up all night, aren't you?
I'll be up. Well, mouse can fart out here and our power will go out. So I've already got home in. I'm not kidding. Like, I came in, all the clocks are flashing. I just got home.
Uh-huh.
But.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say, you know, I would, A, love to watch this, because I'd love to watch the weather. I used to get a lawn chair when I was a kid and sit outside to watch the lightning hit. I would have loved to have been a storm chaser if I had the opportunity. But I don't know anymore. You're hearing about these storms. You're saying, you know, better it's happening out there and then I can be in here. I mean, here we're kind of cool tonight. I don't know what happened. I don't know why the temperature dropped. But, yeah, we're cold tonight, and it's going to get colder. And then warm up again. These extremes that we're having are going to be hard on the body. I don't know. I mean, and you were hearing what Amy said. She said the air pressure where she was so low, her ears were popping.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that happens when you have a really, really, really low front. I mean, when the low pressure system goes to a point where it's so low, you can feel it, and that depression is there. You can actually feel it pushing on your body, and your body starts to contract a bit, and your ears pop, and it's just a weird experience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cole, I thank you so much for calling in tonight. I hope you're safe, and I hope that that storm passes you by. I know a few fronts have come through. The lightning's been wicked, but they're saying, yeah, big storm, 240 miles wide, and it'll move about 600 miles.
Wow. I'm looking at it right now, and it's pretty nasty, and I just heard in Crawford County, which is a county west of us, that they have I think it's like 50 miles an hour, and it's capable of producing quarter-size hail. So
that's yeah,
directly at us.
I think this is going to be. I think this is going to be the thing that's probably going to topple Prism. If it doesn't, then I don't know what will. But yeah, when we have something this severe happening, and we may have power failures and other things going on, I think this is going to be another weird weather week for people. And Cole, I just want to send out my prayers to you and hope you're safe, bud.
We appreciate it. You guys stay cool.
All right, you have a great night. Take care. That's Cole calling from Columbus, Ohio, saying the weather's wicked out there. And, of course, we were discussing that this is going to happen. It's something that's forming. It's a very, very nasty storm. It's an inland hurricane called a derecho. And for those of you that don't know what a derecho is, they explained about what they are on the Weather Channel today.
A little Weather 101. I want to talk about a term, derecho. We've heard about it. We're coming up on the one-year anniversary, the one from last year. It is a widespread, long-lived windstorm that is associated with a band of very rapidly moving showers and storms. Although it can produce similar destruction to tornadoes, the damage typically is directed one kind of direction, a relatively straight swath, straight-line winds. And by definition, the swath extends more than 240 miles and contain gusts in excess of 58 miles per hour. As I mentioned, the one last year traveled 500 miles. You can see it started in the Chicago area and then worked its way across the Ohio Valley and was able to maintain its strength, even intensify, before working its way into our metro area, even into the evening hours. So that's the basics, the 101. Now you know about the derecho.
There were tornadoes that touched down in Massachusetts. There were, weren't they? There was that. Wasn't that one that was a water spout that went, I remember the water spout. They had a shot of it. It was amazing how close they were to the water spout in Massachusetts. And that was a rare tornado out there, so I guess...
A mile wide.
Yeah.
Everything's up.
I mean, they can say it's all a natural thing, but in reality, they're controlling it. They're able to make it happen. They're able to, you know, shut it down, move it, steer it, do what they want. That's their whole goal, though, is they want full spectrum control. And another thing that's full spectrum control is the weather. They can make it look like it's all an accident if they want. Yeah, it is odd to have that many tornadoes in Massachusetts, and now you've witnessed them and you've been involved in at least two or three of them. So, yeah, I mean, it's happening. Severe weather can happen anywhere now, and I think people are taking for granted that they shouldn't prepare, and they really should prepare for these types of things. There are all kinds of ways to prepare, and I just think that we're living in times where I think it's a necessity, and it's also common sense to have some things set aside in case of an emergency, because now we're realizing, according to this article I was reading today, that the government is not going to be able to fund nor provide any assistance because they're going to be spread thin because of all these mini disasters that they are attributing to the sun, the geomagnetics, and the earth going through this catastrophic cycle. No government's going to be able to keep up with that kind of disaster. Tonight, the Midwest experiencing some very severe weather. We were talking about this earlier. The Atlantic published an article today that stood out in my mind as something that I needed to speak with you about tonight. And it's about the idea that with the sun acting the way it is, they're saying that these small disasters, these ones that happen in isolated areas, are enough to take the government to the point of not being able to supply assistance to people who are in need. So this means you have to be prepared yourself, have things set aside. I do have a store myself. If you want to go to my store, it's Ground Zero. PrepareYourGroundZero.com. PrepareYourGroundZero.com. People have been going there. They've been buying things. I think that you need to prepare very simple things from the inexpensive to over the top. Just take a look at PrepareYourGroundZero.com. We'll be back with more. Don't go away. Keep it here on Ground Zero. I believe, however, though, that we have been having a cooler than normal spring. And I mean that because it seemed that we were having those beautiful 70 to 80 degree temperatures. And then the next week we were in the 40s at night and the 50s during the day. And we're heading back to that temporarily with these rainstorms that are coming in. So somehow we have ran into this cool air pattern that we've been seeing these November, December-like temperatures happening in the spring, and now we're getting closer to the summer, and I don't know what to make of it. But I do know that one time during the 4th of July, I went to the waterfront to see the fireworks, and it was so cold I had to wear a coat. See, what I'm thinking, and this is kind of a paranoid view, Jay, and it's just something that I've ran past people, I'm beginning to believe, because I remember when I went to the UFO Festival in McMinnville, I was sitting at a restaurant in Tigard. And I looked out the window and I saw a funnel cloud forming in the sky. Oh, but what I'm thinking is they are force multiplying these storms over the Pacific. Mm-hmm. They come over here, they bring the cold weather, and that cold air pocket is enough that when it reaches that Gulf air in the Midwest, bam, yeah, they have super cooled the air somehow, and they form here over the Pacific and in the northern Pacific. And so they carry with it the Alaskan and the Canadian cooler air. And rather than having the corridor be the effect like normal, because we have the corridor coming from Canada and the corridor coming from the Gulf, we have these force-multiplied cooler air clouds and cooler air storms that the minute they hit the plains, bam, we have tornadoes, bam, we have derechos, bam, we have this very severe weather. And what's going to happen after the severe weather hits? We have these low millibar type storms. They're going to hit with the, they're going to be hit with the biggest heat wave, and it's going to be one of the worst heat waves. And you're going to hear about it in the news. It's gonna be one of the worst heat waves ever. Last year they had the temperatures drop into the sub-zero range because of the fact that there was a collapse actually in the jet stream. Now we're seeing, after the collapse, we're seeing this erratic weather. But I'm thinking that if they're doing anything with the weather at all, they're weather controlling it, they're force multiplying it over the Pacific. It reaches Oregon. We have these cold temperatures. And like you say, when we have these extremely cold, and I mean that not in a very exaggerated way, but what I'm saying is when we have these, you know, these unseasonably cold nights and days with these rainstorms we're having here in the summertime, that cold air is powerful enough to remain when it hits the plains, when those storm systems hit the plains and go through the jet stream, that, bam, we have tornadoes and we have all these other problems. The worst motive I ever heard from someone was a very smart one. She said, hey, you know, when all these crops are taken out and all these farms are gone, who's going to supply the seeds and who's going to supply all that other stuff? And immediately I thought, yeah, Monsanto, here we go again. So, yeah, there you go. Tornado warning for Cleveland, Ohio right now. The weather's going crazy. It just is. It looks like something else is going to happen tomorrow morning. It's really going to shake the world. I don't know if we're going to be looking into this. We're not going to talk about it now. It may be something we're going to talk about tomorrow. Who knows? But stay tuned. We'll keep you updated if this is true. Somebody just informed me of this, and it's... it'll be mighty devastating if it is reported tomorrow, and we want you to tune in for that tomorrow.
The point I wanted to make was this point. If the government had any knowledge, in which I believe they, this is what I do believe, if they had knowledge of an impending doom, whether it be by our own creation or by an asteroid, they could never let us know about it, number one, because it'd be anarchy, of course. And what makes me concerned about that is I had read an article about I think they sent out, you know, the freeze-dried meals that they make that last for years. Mm-hmm. They just ordered enough of those meals for 10,000 people to last for 5 years, somewhere out into the area of Area 51. And a lot of people believe that there's an underground thing being built there, like 24 floors under the ground,
yeah,
where they're actually trying to set up for an impending doom.
Well, they do.
Well,
we did do a show.
Something's going to happen.
Well, yeah, we did do a show a while back about the continuity of government and how, you know, places like Area 51, Dulce, the Denver airport, several areas are that. And, you know, look, the idea of controlling the weather, I don't know how vast it is. I don't know how extensive it is. I do know it's a goal because they want full spectrum control of everything. So, you know, when you're saying what you're saying, I can understand why you would say it. However, you are correct about the preparation. I mean, I was on Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura talking about how
I love him to death. I've watched every one of his shows.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was on the episode talking about the Ozarks,
underground. The Ozarks. I saw that one.
Yeah, and I was also in Las Vegas talking about the same thing. Where I was standing there, I was actually standing out at a Occupy encampment there at the airport in Vegas when I was talking with June Sarpon, and it was really odd because we were going to do it in the parking lot of a casino, but then they had us move out to that area. So, and we actually filmed both segments that day, all in Las Vegas. So yeah, I was talking about the very thing, the idea that you're talking about, that they're preparing.
I have just one question for you, and I'll let you go because I know there's other callers that want to call in. I just have a question for you personally.
Sure.
If there were an impending asteroid that was going to hit this planet, heading to this planet,
mm-hmm.
and the government knew that there was only 3 years before this was going to happen, there was nothing that we could do about it, would you want to know about it and live your life for those 3 years, or would you not want to know about it? Do you want to know you have cancer, or do you not want to know you have cancer?
Knowing that I've had cancer,
I didn't know that you had. I'm sorry if you did. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and knowing that I've had it and having to deal with that, I was glad to find out about it.
Okay, and, you were, okay.
Yeah, and I was also glad to find out that I could have died over it, and how it's changed me a lot, the way I look at things. And I guess, yes, I would like to know. I would hope that other people would want to know, because, I mean, look, if something's going to happen, there's always that chance that you're going to survive, or there's always that chance you're going to die. You have that 50-50 chance every day.
That's a good way to look at it.
It's not just the idea of having to accept it. That was the hard part, you know, having to accept the fact that, you know, you may not, you know, make it. And that's just, I mean, dying sucks.
I wonder,
really
the last
sucks.
Thing I'd like to say before I go, and I, like I said, I know you get other calls.
Right.
I wonder what would happen if the whole entire world knew that the world was going to end in 3 years by a disaster like an asteroid. Would we finally put the guns down? Would all the fighting stop? Would they say, hey, look, we got 3 years to live. Let's stop building nuclear warheads. Let's stop. Let's all be friends for the last 3 years.
I would hope that, you know, and I'll tell you this much. Now that I've been there and back and everything, I really want people to understand that life is worth living. And I think that that's the hard part is that, you know, I look at life now, regardless of how people, you know, try to suss me out and figure out who I am. You know, Zach, Clyde, you talk about dooms, you talk about dooming and glooming, and you're probably a pessimist. No, actually, I'm an optimist. I really am. I am a total optimist, and I'm not a fatalist. However, I do see a lot of fatalistic things happening. I do see a lot of strange things happen. I look at myself as I said many times, I'm a weatherman.
I think you're a realist.
Well, I try to be. I'm a Fortean. I say that things are strange because the world is strange. The paranormal is fascinating because we're all kind of weird in our own little way. We all have weird belief systems, and no one ever stops to figure out why they believe what they believe. They just know they believe it, and it's because of the fact they've had it. Either they've had a mother who told them that they needed to, you know, take communion, or they have a father who told them that, you know, Jesus is the way. And they kept the story going, and that's all it is about life, is keeping the story going and keeping things, keeping memories alive and not letting the stories end. And I'll tell you, it would be a sad day to not have these stories. And I think the cynicism that has overtaken this country and a lot of the world, I think is worthless. It's worthless cynicism and the whole idea of I'm a skeptic and all this other nonsense. As I always look at them, I was saying, you know what? Okay, if you're a real skeptic, then tell me this. Do you have an open mind about everything? No, I think I've made my mind up. Well, you know what you are? You're a joyless ass. And you have no business talking to me because I want to talk to people who think outside the box. I want to talk to people who have infinite thoughts about an infinite universe rather than finite nonsense that they basically have stuck to because they're too afraid to venture outside the lines. And I think a lot of people need to start doing that because the minute we start being too rigid, we end up being... having ennui and we don't care anymore. And I think that's what's happening now in this country. I think people have been told this is the way it is. It's not going to change. This is the way it is. And you talk about things that could change, talk about things that could develop the way they are. And people are willing. But you know what? I'm proving wrong, Roger, with my ratings and everything else. I'm proving that just talking about things and not being afraid to open your mind and talk about them is actually something people really want to hear.
Yes.
And the minority are those, minorities are those skeptics who think they know it all. And those are the people that I just love to I just want to rip into them and say, you know what? Get out of my world. I don't mind disagreements, but just get out of my world if you're going to be a person who says, well, I'm a skeptic. And you say, okay, well, then you can open your mind. No, I made my mind up. And then you're not a skeptic. You know, all you are is a person. What's that?
It's probably just some of the way they're upbringing. You know, sometimes that's just the way they are because of the way they were raised by parents that were probably like that too, you know?
I think they're scared.
Yeah, that could be too, yeah. They're just afraid.
I think they're afraid because they don't want to look like a fool for believing in something that may be proven to be, you know, wrong. I think that's the whole thing. They always say they're a skeptic because they think, well, I'm on the side of the skeptic and I'm right. Well, you know what? How hard, really, and how bold is it, really, to go with what the conventional thinking is? You know, not one skeptic goes against what the man wants you to believe. That's why I watch all these guys on television saying that people like Ed Snowden should be tried for treason. And I'm saying, really? Ed Snowden decided to defend the Constitution. We want to try for treason? And people like Peter King, you know, we are then declaring a guy who protects the Constitution an enemy. An enemy combatant. And people like Peter King and I saw Ari Fleischer today do the same thing, and I'm thinking, you know what? Ari Fleischer, you're the same guy that told us the WMDs existed. You're the guy that told me that Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden were buddies. And you know what? You're a lying, you're just a lying stack of you-know-what. And I personally think that all credibility now is lost on government. It just is. It's gone.
Yeah, kind of a shame.
It is.
And like I said, I'm an optimist too, and I'm one that always looks the light at the end of the tunnel, and
right.
I don't see things getting better real quick. So all we can do is pray for the best.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the light at the end of the tunnel is not an oncoming train, but a bicycle where they're selling ice cream. I think that'd be a nice idea.